Hello and welcome to The Meaning and Mystery of Marriage. I'm Father David Sizemore, and I am the chaplain here for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm also a pastor of Sunbury St. John Newman Catholic Church, and I'm joined in the studio today by Dan Timmons. He's the director of Marriage and Family Life Office of the Diocese of Columbus, and Dan and I have been putting together and working with guests on this 12-part series for the mystery and the meaning of marriage. This show that we're going to be doing is on the sacrament of marriage. But before we delve into this topic, let's dive into prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you offer us physical ways to express your grace, to receive your grace, to be in a relationship with you, particularly in the sacraments. You give us water as a way to enter into relationship with you through your Spirit in baptism, that you confer holy oils at the moment that a person needs great strength and faith, when they're struggling and they're suffering, in the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, and all the sacraments, Lord, including the sacrament of marriage, of holy matrimony. You give us our very lives and our bodies that communicate your grace and help a man and a woman to experience your love and to use your love as an assistance to their life and on their journey to heaven. We give you thanks that you have manifested through a body, a human body, in your own incarnation, becoming fully human with us and showing to us that our bodies count and our lives count and human love and relationship count, and they all work together with your grace as we journey to you in heaven. We ask you to bless all marriages and bless those who are preparing for marriage and those who are struggling in marriage. Bless them with your love and with your blessings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dan, give us a quick little recap of where we've been.
Yeah, we've had a great five shows so far. We've learned about marriage in the beginning, God's original plan for marriage, how that plan was messed up, how Christ restored God's original plan and elevated marriage to the level of a sacrament, a sign of his love for the church. We also talked about how our wedding vows, how we enter into this mystery of God's love. And last week we discussed marriage as a vocation, a call from God to holiness, together with your spouse, a call from God to serve.
And today we're going to enter into a new topic, but really one that is woven throughout all of these talks, and that is marriage as a sacrament. And so we have a very, very special guest with us today, Megan Timmons, who is Dan Timmons' wife, and they have their children here. They're four wonderful children with us. So if you hear some hooping and hollering in the background, that's the kitties. And Mary Claire is 6 years old. Anthony is 4 years old. And Paul is two. You just heard from Paul. No, that's Gabriel. And Gabriel is 6 months and is resting wonderfully in the arms of Megan. Megan, we're going to be talking about marriage as a sacrament today, and so thank you for coming on board with us today as our guest. Dan and I thought that it just was a natural fit that a guest for this would be, speaking about marriage as a sacrament, would be the two of you, speaking about marriage as a sacrament from your own lives. So welcome, Megan.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here.
And welcome to all your children. Sacrament. You know, before we ever get into, Dan, before we ever get into marriage as a sacrament, we really need to understand what a sacrament is, or maybe just a quick little review of what a sacrament is.
Right. Let's go back to your second grade CCD class. Sacrament is a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. It's really our faith is incarnational. It's physical. It's visible. There's these signs in the world that truly communicate God's invisible mystery of life and love to us. Christ becomes one with his bride in and through our flesh. So God doesn't just zap us, you know, in some mysterious, mystical way, but he actually reaches us through our senses, the way we learn about the world. God's love is infused in us in that same way.
And that's really what a sign is. You know, a sign is something like something physical, like smoke is a sign of fire. But smoke itself is not fire. It's a sign of fire. You know, it points back that there's a fire there. But that's not necessarily the case with the sacraments, are there?
Right, right. The sacraments actually bring about what they signify. So, for instance, baptism, we have the physical pouring of the water and the words by the priest or deacon, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, through that water, the child or the person being baptized is given God's own abundant divine life dwelling within them. They're washed clean of original sin through that pouring of the water.
And as all sacraments go, I mean, we remember our initial formula that has been ingrained into the minds of many of our adults, that a sacrament is a sign instituted by Christ to give grace. So as you said, it's something physical, but it's more than that. It's a sign that brings about the reality itself that it's signifying. But it's instituted by Christ, so that means that these are not things that our Catholic Church over the centuries have thought up and thought, oh, well, wouldn't it be nice if we made marriage into a sacrament? Or wouldn't it be nice if we kind of introduced this to the church that priests are a sign of Christ's presence, you know, especially like in things like in the conferral of the sacraments, like a Eucharist and reconciliation. No, the church didn't make these things up. These are all from Christ's life. We see them foreshadowed in the Old Testament and fully revealed in the New Testament. And then the purpose of them is to give grace. What does that mean? Christ gave these things to us to give grace.
Right, and grace ultimately is the life of God dwelling within us. So there's these physical signs, baptism, the Eucharist, confirmation, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, holy orders, and marriage are these seven physical signs through which God's divine life is able to dwell within us, where we're given His love.
And you said seven sacraments. I mean, we all are aware of that as Catholics, but maybe if anyone's listening who's not Catholic, we've always believed that there have been seven sacraments that God has given us, and that He give each one of these to us for different purposes. And the church breaks them down in categories, such as...
Right, there's the three sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. There are two sacraments for healing, which is reconciliation and anointing of the sick. And then there's two sacraments that are specifically for a vocation, a call for holiness or a call to service, which is holy orders, diaconate, the priesthood, and then also marriage.
And all these together are experienced throughout life by God's holy people. Now, not all of these sacraments will one person experience, correct? For me as a priest, I can experience all of the sacraments throughout the course of my life except for one. And that, and that is the sacrament of marriage. But I ask that question to lead into, who are the ministers of the sacrament? When we think of ministers of the sacraments, we often think of deacons and priests, but that's not the case with marriage, is it?
No, not at all. With marriage, at least in the Latin rite, the couple, the bride and groom themselves are the ministers of the sacrament. So Father Dave, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that as a priest, you probably ministered five of the seven sacraments. I don't think you've ordained anybody.
Not that the bishop knows of.
You have to be a bishop in order to do that. And you haven't married anyone. You've only been there to witness.
That's right.
The marriages of couples.
And to preside over the ceremony.
Right.
Yeah. So it's the man and the woman who are a minister to the sacrament. Megan, I'm sure you knew that. And how does that make sense to you? That on the day of your marriage to Dan, it wasn't a priest or a deacon who was the minister. It was you.
Yes,
and your husband.
in a way, it's very humbling because, you know, you think of what occurs in baptism and how much that changes the life of the person and all the sacraments. And then just to be given that, you know, special ability, that was so beautiful. And Dan and I, you know, thankfully we knew that, and through so much prayer and preparation, we prepared and we decided to memorize our vows. And,
wow, that almost never happened. So you memorized your vows and you recited your vows without the prompting of the priest.
That's correct, yes.
That's awesome. Why did you do that?
Well, I think, Dan initially suggested to me because, I don't know, I thought maybe in front of all of my family and friends and everyone, I tend to get, you know, nervous. I thought, what if I don't say it exactly correctly? But he said, just, you know, go over it and really meditate on what you're saying. And eventually you will just really reflect on what you're saying. So I did. I would say it over and over again, almost like a Hail Mary. And eventually it just became so much a part of, you know, the sacrament, and, you know, it just came so freely. And then once it came time to recite them in front of everybody, it just, you know, it was just so powerful. I felt so much grace, and it was amazing and beautiful.
Because words count, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Using words, and obviously with God's grace that He gives us, a priest can change, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so in a very real way, he is standing in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the Latin phrase is in persona Christi. He stands in the person of Christ and changes this bread into the body and blood of Christ. And that's why, in fact, the priest doesn't say things like, this is Christ's body. He says, this is my body, because it's Christ speaking through the person, the body of the priest, and through his priesthood that he received in the sacrament, holy orders, and changing that bread and wine into his body and blood of Christ. So that means that if you're the minister, Dan and Megan, of the sacrament of marriage, that you're standing in the person of Christ to one another. Isn't that the case?
Right, that and like Megan said, that is very humbling to say, you know, Christ allows this sacramental grace to flow through me to Megan and through her to me. It's quite a unique sacrament in that way.
And that goes back to that original formula, an outward sign of an inner grace instituted by Christ. You know, I mean, an outward sign instituted by Christ to confer grace. So you too are the outward sign of the presence of God. You know, that you're standing in the person of Jesus Christ, and you are about to confer upon one another Christ's grace. And the sacrament itself, then, the sign of that grace becomes a reality as you minister to one another this beautiful sacrament. I mean, when we think about that, it truly is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, it is beautiful. And so as we were preparing for our liturgy, after prayer, we thought, why don't we invoke the saints and have a litany right before we say our vows? So after checking with our priest, he said, yes, you can do that. And we picked some of our patron saints and saints that mean a lot to us. And it was so beautiful because Dan's sister, Sarah, she sung the litany and everyone kneeled. And I feel as if that gave me just the grace to say the vows perfectly without any mistake or anything. So after that happened, I felt, yes, this is going to happen. Now we're going to become married, one man, one woman, united. And I thought this was the best way to lead up to it.
I love hearing that. And I'm going to steal that.
right. Just like at the wedding of Cana, where Jesus and his mother and his disciples were all invited to that wedding. We wanted our wedding to image that, where we, you know, first and foremost invited Christ into our wedding, into our marriage, his mother, Mary, And then his disciples, all the angels and saints, we wanted to surround ourselves with the heavenly host while we were saying our vows.
And again, it fits perfectly into this construct of what a sacrament is, because it's not just a private vow, right? Or private exchange between two individuals. It's not just a personal thing. It's a public thing. It's a public event. It's a public ceremony. It's a public sacred event. And so just as Christ was obviously the minister at the wedding feast of Cana, and something transformative happens with his words, then it's the same as what you're describing. You're inviting all of the saints who dwell in the presence of God to come and be with you and to pray for you and with you as you're about to stand in the person of Christ and exchange the sacrament with one another. I just think that's wonderful.
Right. And then actually, there's an interesting story. Following our wedding day, we went to an interesting place on our honeymoon.
Yes, we went to the North American Martyr Shrine. And at first, you wouldn't think that's a honeymoon destination. But we went there for a few reasons. We got married July 30th, so we thought, let's head north instead of south because it was very hot. And on the way, we did stop at Niagara Falls. So that was part of the, you know, the typical honeymoon destination.
Right.
So that was beautiful. But then we headed up about 4 hours north to the Martyr Shrine. And I just always wanted to go almost on a pilgrimage to just right after our marriage. Because I knew that you need so much prayer to start off your marriage, and what a better way to do that than to visit a shrine.
Right.
So we went there, and it was beautiful. There were 10,000 lakes and a beautiful
there was a marsh that you go around on a little canoe and things. But the town of Midland, Ontario, was really built around the Shrine of the North American Martyrs, where the Jesuit priests came and ministered to the native Indians there. John de Brébeuf and Isaac Jogues was there, and their companions.
And that really puts things in a whole new context too. That as you're beginning your life together in the sacrament of love, that you're surrounding yourself with some of the people who really were influential in bringing the faith to North America, and even so much so to the point that they were willing to give their life for Christ. Because isn't that what marriage is? You know, I'm not saying marriage is a martyrdom,
yes.
But you know, I mean, there is suffering that comes with marriage. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are testings, but that's the stuff that forges us and makes us stronger. And yet marriage is also, about not just witnessing to Christ, but willing to give up our lives for the sake of the other, you know. In this case, it's not just Christ that we give up our life to and for. It's for our spouse.
Right, for our spouse and our children. And, you know, with four small children at home, there are daily sacrifices and daily struggles. And Megan knows that more than I do because I'm at work 8 hours a day. But through those daily trials and sacrifices, there's real, true, and lasting joy. You know, when we had three children and we moved down here to Columbus, you know, life was a little bit crazy, a little difficult. We were thinking to ourselves,
new job, new city, another child, another blessing on the way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We thought, wow, what are we going to do when this fourth one comes along? But actually, you know, when he was born, you know, it is a lot of work, but he has brought so much joy to our family that we wouldn't have it any other way.
Right. Right.
It's totally worth it.
And it's an extension of the sacrament, you know, in the sense that now Gabriel, your youngest, 6 months, is a new manifestation of Christ in your presence, a new sign of God's love for the two, you know, among you, and God's love coming from among you, and the two of you sharing God's love to Gabriel and your other three children. So yet another sign that comes from this sacrament, a very real sign too.
Yes. When I look in their eyes and I see them smile, their eyes are so pure and so holy. And I just, in a way, that's God to me speaking through me, loving me is through them.
Mm-hmm.
And And we love the quote from the priest who baptized Anthony.
That was Paul, by the way.
And he said, a child that was just baptized is, you know, witnessing the face of God. So I'm going to go kiss him because it's like kissing God.
Uh-huh.
And so everyone rushed over to kiss him too. And so, you know, that was just beautiful. Just their innocence and their excitement and their purity is something that keeps me going every day.
And it gives you countless opportunities to grow in holiness.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Adding that to it.
Let's talk just real briefly about this whole idea of form and matter to every sacrament, particularly to the sacrament of marriage, and especially in the consummation of the marriage. The two of you have been married now for how many years?
Coming up on 8 years.
8 years. And you had this this beautiful night together where on the day of or the evening of your wedding, you express your vows to one another in the act of lovemaking, of conjugal love. So, you know, using that, talk about what that means as a sacrament of form and matter and why that should matter.
Right, because in your wedding vows, you're promising to love as Christ loved the church, a love that is free, a love that is total, a love that is faithful, and a love that bears fruit, is fruitful.
And again, words matter. So just like Megan was so wonderfully remembering that she had memorized her vows and what that meant to her. So now you're going to take your vows and express them. You're going to express them in a new way. And so how's that then the matter, the stuff of it?
Right. It actually, the words of the wedding vows take on flesh. It becomes flesh. It's bodily. It's physical. And so the union of husband and wife is actually a renewal and an expression of those vows, sort of summing up all the words of the wedding vows in this new union, which is why any type of sexual union outside of marriage is really a lie, because at the heart of that, it's saying, you know, I will love you freely, totally, faithfully, fruitfully, but no, I'm not going to do it. So it's saying one thing with your body and meaning something else.
Meaning, saying no, holding back some of that.
Right.
And Christ doesn't hold back any of that, does he? And if marriage is a sacrament and it's a sign of Christ's presence, conferring grace, then that makes sense the way that you described it. It's not just on the wedding night, is it? I mean, it's throughout your lives as a couple that you're renewing your wedding vows whenever you come together in the act of conjugal love, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And, you know, to have that in mind it just adds a whole nother dimension to what marital love is. And that, of course, leads us to an openness to life, to expressing love for one another, and that love joined with God's love creates new life. And that new life is, of course, your children. So where does that all come into play?
Right. The conjugal act was willed by God to be both the union of the spouses and for the procreation and education of children. So it's not only this openness to life with every marital act, but it's also when God does bless us with life, there's a responsibility there to bring our children up in the practice of the faith, to do what we can to pass on this great gift that we have, our Catholic faith.
So it's not just all about free love and great feelings and, fulfilling one another. It's fulfilling God's plan. And that is that love creates life, and that life is destined for God. And so the parents have a responsibility to raise your children, not just as spiritual beings, you know, but human beings that come to know God, love God, and learn through your own service to them to serve God.
Right, right. And that's the home is a domestic church in that way. We pass on the faith in our home. And part of that is we want our home to be a place of holiness, a place of purity. So we don't want there to be, our culture has so many influences out there that impact us negatively. We want to do what we can to safeguard our homes,
right?
From the
As you're growing the garden, you pull the weeds,
right?
Yeah, amen. Where's prayer fit into all of this?
Probably first, I guess. Beginning and ending
many,
each day,
and many many times throughout the day, right?
Yes.
Yeah, even God help me.
It's a perfect prayer, you know. Yeah, in fact, a lot of times I hear that in the sacrament of reconciliation when a mother or father, a young mother or father in particular, or a mother and father of teenage kids, one of the things they first confess is, Father, I need to confess about the lack of patience.
Oh, yes. Every time.
And yet we pray for that. And so kids themselves, in the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads, you know, when everything is running smoothly and when it's all chaotic, they are opportunities for parents to grow in holiness, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. It just brings you to your knees, because I feel sometimes that everything's taken from me, my will, what I want to do, where I want to go. It's just, stripped from me. And I immediately think about Christ and how that, he was stripped from that. And, we think about that meditation with the Station of the Cross, and it's just all taken. But that's what I need to grow closer to Him.
And just like through Christ's death and his passion and death, He then reaches the glory of resurrection. So there's also with that many moments of glory, isn't there?
So, yes, there are. And that is what makes it all worth it.
In fact, marriage is all worth it. And we know that with God's grace. We know what marriage is and what it's for, and that it leads us deeper in relationship with Christ. And it helps us all help one another in Christ's grace to get to heaven. So, indeed, it is worth it. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the worth of marriage, for the value of marriage. It's infinite value, it's infinite worth, in that you call a man and woman together in an exclusive love relationship that reflects many things about your love and prepares us in many ways for the fullness of the life of your love in heaven, but in all kinds of opportunities along the way to know that love, to share that love, and to grow that love in children. Bless all marriages. Bless Dan and Megan this day and their four wonderful children. And bless all the children out there who are brought together and created in your love and in the embrace of a man and woman. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will